This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
We're all going to look at a passage that you all know, but we'll see if we can learn something from it today. That is Psalm 23. Could someone please read it for us? Let's read it in like two or three different translations. Thank you. For me, there were a lot of things. One thing that struck me is there are a lot of similarities between the psalm and the prayers that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Here it says the shepherd, there it says our Father. And he says there, he leads me, he guides me, meaning he shows me his will. And just like Jesus said, that your will be done. He protects me. I fear no evil. Do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he ends it by saying, for that is the power, the glory forever and ever. And he said that we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a lot of similarities there. It talks about, I think it represents some of the essential things that are in the Christian life. I think from the beginning, you see that the thing that you see from here is that when you have, David was a shepherd, and out of all the things that he could really describe, to put things in simple terms to describe his relationship with God, he made it as a shepherd and a sheep. And you can think of the kind of shepherd that David was, so faithful that he put his life on the line when bears and lions came to attack his sheep. He did not run to go, and they were not even his. They belonged to someone, to his dad. And he would put his life in danger and fight a bear and fight a lion and to protect some sheep. And you then take it here. So when you're talking about the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want, he really knows what he's talking about because he was a shepherd. And it makes me, it brings some comfort, it brings some idea about what kind of a shepherd God is. He's a shepherd of the kind of David, and even more. He put his life on the line for his sheep. And the other interesting thing is that if you have a shepherd and a sheep, in the case of David, was not his sheep, it was his dad's sheep. It is, which of course is Christ, whom the Father put in charge of his flock. And Jesus is that shepherd to whom the Father has entrusted some sheep. And when you look at that, you think to yourself, the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, it's one of those relationships where the shepherd does everything for the sheep and the sheep does nothing for the shepherd. In particular, in this case, when there were not even his sheep, if one was killed or they had made clothes or whatnot from it, they were his dad's. Whatever fruit they bore or benefit they got from it were for his father. But there isn't really much that when you look at the difference between a human being, between a shepherd and a sheep, there isn't really much the shepherd, the sheep can do for his shepherd. He can build him a house. He cannot defend him. He cannot fight for him. He can't do anything. The sheep receives care, and the sheep is so dumb and so stupid of an animal that it needs to be constantly led, constantly kept. And David acknowledged that really when you open your eyes to see the truth, you'll see how weak and how unknowledgeable you really are. The difference between a human being and a sheep is not much compared to the difference between God and a person. The danger that a sheep faces is nothing compared to the danger that we face spiritually as people. And so it both shows God the shepherd and we the sheep. It must bring some amount of humility. And if we always think that we're all that, will you just remember when you see a sheep going out saying meh, meh, and they're providing everything for him, leading him to go eat grass, remember that there is no, the difference between the human being and the sheep is not much compared to the difference between God and us. What I'm trying to say is that we are really needy creatures. We are needy people. And we need shelter, we need food, we need help. And God, our shepherd, is there to provide for that. It is something to always remember. And that's why I say, I shall not want. Not because he has no need, but because he trusts the shepherd. It's like a sheep saying that, well, now you ask the sheep, well, what you going to do? What are you going to eat? What are you going to be? Are you going to be safe? I don't know, but I have a shepherd, and I know it's going to be okay. That thought, that idea, that vision is one that we should have. God is our Father. God is our shepherd. And he says here that to see it here, you see that there are four things. There's an expression or a way, an idea that's repeated. He does this to me. He does this to me. He does this to me. That verse 2, he makes me. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. All those things are things that God does for us. We sometimes have taken the Christian life and tried to turn it into a life where we do things for God. We make God happy. We lead him. We suggest things for him to do. And then we try to use this thing called prayer to make him do those things, to make it happen. It's not the case. It is that God is really the one who makes us into something. Some months ago, we talked about Jesus. We studied one verse. Jesus called his disciples and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now you will make yourself fishers of men. Not that I will teach you how you are going to become. I will make you the fishers of men. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. When I sin and there's nothing needs to, the soul's needs restoration from what? From the destruction that's caused by sin. The destruction that's caused by sin to your thoughts, to your mind, into all these things. If in your mind, in your heart, there has been hurt, there has been bitterness, there's been anger, there's been all these things, there have been filth, there's been sin, there's been uncleanness, there's been hatred, there's been jealousy, and all these sorts of things. Those things are death. They're dark things. They wound the soul. They dirty the soul. And it's not we, it's not you, it's not any, it is God who does it. He restores my soul. He restores us. He restores our soul. Even there, it is the work of God. He guides me in paths of righteousness. After he has restored my soul, he not only deliver me and heals me from the consequences and the wounds, the consequences of sin on my being. But not only does he do that, but he also, in addition, leads me in paths of righteousness. You don't say, it is not you and me who we decide, okay, now today I'm going to be righteous and I'm going to do obey God and walk holy. It does not work like that. He leads me in paths of righteousness. From beginning to end, it is God who does that. So throughout this, there is this idea here that God is the shepherd, I'm the sheep. God is enough, and I am so needy, I barely have anything. Whether it be spiritually, whether it be in every way, he's the one who does things to me. Spiritually, if I need restoration on my soul, if I need guidance, if I need to know the will of God, if I need to walk, if I need security, it is God who provides those things. And just like Jesus says there that in the prayer, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, it says here, he prepares for me a table in the presence of my enemies. He provides for me. He shows to the whole world that I care for this person. I care for him. And he protects us from evil. I don't have to fear the devil. I don't have to fear Satan. I don't have to go to bed fearing what's going to happen and so on. Not because I'm strong, but because I have a shepherd who is stronger than my enemies. And the last thing here that I will talk about is something that we've spoken about here often in recent years. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. I believe that is referring to being filled with the Holy Spirit. That anointing, that power of God, it is also God who does it. It is something that comes from God. And my cup overflows. Why? And this is a very beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. Why does my cup overflow? So that it can fill others. Having been filled, I overflow. And that overflow is the ministry to other people. It is God who does all these things. He starts from taking me to green pastures, healing my, showing me his will, restoring my soul, leading me in paths of righteousness, all the way to the end, where I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And throughout his life, goodness and mercy follows him till he ends up in the house of God and spends eternity there. I am learning in these recent months, to go back to some basic truths of the Christian life. And one of them is this, that it is God who makes us. It is God who does things for us. It is not me, you doing things for God. It is he doing something in us and doing something through us and doing some things with us. From beginning to end, the Christian life is a work of God. He is the author, that is, he begins it, and he is the finisher, that is the one who brings it to the end. From the beginning of it is God, the end of it is God. He's the beginner and the finisher of our faith. A lot of us, we've made ourselves, we agree God is the author, but then we've made ourselves the finisher of our faith. It leads to a lot of frustration, to a lot of discouragement, to a lot of disillusionment and so on. Let's turn to God. Let's accept our position as sheep and accept his position as our shepherd who cares for us.